Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. We're going to do something a little bit different today. And we're going to have some visual aids. So you'll see them on your screen, and you'll also see them in your bulletin. Because I don't expect you to remember everything you see on the screen. And you might want to take notes. Okay, we're going to reflect on today's reading in Matthew. And we have some pretty spectacular things happening in our gospel reading today. We've got murder, adultery, dismemberment, lust, going to jail, going to hell, and divorce. Okay, that's a lot. It sounds like Jesus is trying to say that he expects us to follow Jewish law a whole lot closer than we have done in the past. It is my opinion that Jesus isn't really talking about the rules we should follow here, at least not exclusively. I think he's talking about relationships. Our Christian tradition over the last few centuries hasn't done a very good job of talking about relationships and how to improve them. In recent years, however, pastors and rabbis have dipped into the field of psychology to bring forth some helpful tools that faith communities can use in our relationships with each other and in our congregations as a whole. These tools center around the concept of a triangle, and you'll recognize this one right away. And if you don't, we need to chat. There are a few interesting things about relationship triangles. First, they contain unique points, but the triangle itself is unified. Here, we have unique persons, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, but they are one God. Likewise, we can see a family with mother, father, and child. Three very separate individuals, but one family. Another aspect of relationship triangles is that they interconnect. So we saw the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's one triangle, but that triangle can interconnect with this triangle. You see? Here we have the Trinity triangle as one point in our relationship with God. In church congregations, all of our personal relationship triangles interconnect to form a community of Christ. Okay, finally, it is virtually impossible to have a relationship of any kind that isn't in the form of a triangle. The relationship triangle is the most stable, and it can be either healthy or unhealthy. Now, let's apply this triangle concept to the situations in our reading from Matthew today. Amid the eyeballs and lust and all of the other things we hear about, Jesus shows us some unhealthy relationship triangles. And I think he's asking us to heal those relationships. I think he's pointing out and pointing to our greater calling, but he's not doing so by asking us to double down on our efforts to follow all the rules. I think he's indicating that if we heal the relationships through the grace of God, we will then be able to follow the rules almost naturally. In verse 28 of our reading from Matthew, Jesus says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Let's look at this situation through the lens of the triangle. We have the object of lust. We have the person leering. And we have the marriage vow. The man's gaze violates the woman by turning her into an object of desire instead of a human being. And this, in turn, violates the marriage vow. He wants something from her, but not a relationship with her. And this is a situation that's still valid if you mix up the genders, by the way. So, ladies, we're not off the hook. Now let's change this to a healthy triangle. What if, instead of an object of lust, the observer saw something different? What if he saw the beauty of God's creation? What if he saw through the eyes of love? Or through the eyes of God? Now, what happens here? This turns the woman into a manifestation of beauty. And this makes the observer no longer lusting and leering. Instead, it turns him into a poet or an artist or someone who praises God. This asks nothing of the woman. It respects her divine dignity, and it encourages holy and healthy relationships. Let's move to another triangle. Let's look at the divorced couple. This one's really easy, right? So we've got the husband, the wife, and the divorce decree. How do we turn this into a healthy triangle? Well, now, we've got marital counselors out there making a living at trying to answer this problem. So I'm not going to make it that easy. But one way we can do this is to realize that the husband and wife are part of the same body, formed by the same creator. The body that God, our creator, gave us in his image. Husband and wife are versions of body 1.0, if we want to get simplistic about it. They are separate and distinct, but they are one family, one body. Our last triangle is the accuser triangle. Here we see the accuser and ourselves. Now, it says naughty me, right? We wouldn't be accused of something if we hadn't done something wrong. So obviously we've been naughty and the accuser has busted us. And then we have the judge. This makes a really great triangle. Very clear, very easy. How do we make it a healthy triangle? Well, Jesus tells us straight out how to do this. We find a way to reconcile with our accuser way before we get to the judge in this triangle. When we do that, when we confess and repent, we become the reconciler. This changes the accuser into the forgiver. And this changes the judge into God, our loving Father. So in our gospel reading today from Matthew, Jesus references Jewish law. There's Jewish law all throughout this passage. But Jesus isn't just schooling his listeners on the rules and regulations. They know all this stuff, particularly the scribes and the Pharisees. Instead, I think he's showing us how to heal relationships, both with our neighbors and with God. Now, a whole lot has changed in 2,000 years. Relationship triangles have not. They are the structure of relationship, and they are as eternal as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You, sitting here right now, are in several triangles. Dozens of them. Probably hundreds. Are they healthy? How can we make them healthier? It's easy for a preacher, particularly a Texas preacher like myself, to stand up here and say something like, I want all y'all to straighten up and fly right. And then remind you of all the rules in Scripture that you are breaking. And maybe I'm breaking even more. It's easy. But it's not about the rules. Not really. It's about the relationships. And those are harder to tackle, harder to talk about, harder to make healthy. What are some of the triangles we can see here at Grace? We can see some leadership triangles with clergy and wardens, the congregation, the diocese. These are some relationship triangles we have at the leadership level at Grace. We also have triangles in our worship, how we arrange worship. These are structures of relationships we can see. We even have a relationship triangle with our building. It seems weird to say, but if you look at this graph, you can see easily, yes, we do have a relationship with the building. We have a relationship with outreach. There is a context in which we operate as a community. And for anybody who's ever taken an accounting or bookkeeping class, you can see that the classic finance triangle is a triangle. There's relationship here. I think it's important to ask ourselves, are these healthy relationships? There are some signs of sickness in relationships, and they include the following. Listen closely and see if you recognize them. See if any of your relationships have this. They include blame, gossip, avoiding responsibility, fear, fatalism, distrust, conflict, difficulty thinking about decisions clearly, sabotaging, taking over someone else's responsibility, being a victim, exhaustion, jealousy, anger, and becoming judgmental. Think to our relationships here at Grace. Does any of this sound familiar? In your professional and personal lives, has anyone seen any of these characteristics? These characteristics are not signs that we haven't followed scriptural rules very well. They're signs that we are in unhealthy relationships. So how do we improve them? Well, I'm not an expert in psychology, and we certainly don't have a 3-hour lecture here. But there are, from what I can tell, 3 main ways we can improve relationships. We can strengthen our personal boundaries and take responsibility for our own maturity. We can allow other people their boundaries and their own responsibilities. And we can make sure that God is present. Did you notice that God is a part of each of the healthy triangles? Not only is our God a unified triangle of holy relationship between divine persons, but our God is part and parcel of our healthy relationships. Improving our relationships isn't as easy as just going to church more or joining a committee or even increasing our givings. Although that really is quite important. No, we must dedicate our whole selves to this most important relationship, loving God, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Because our relationship with God collectively and individually is ultimately where the healing comes from. And it is ultimately how we are able, through grace, to follow these rules we read about in Scripture. Get closer to God. Not through the rules, but through relationship. Relationship with God. Relationship with ourselves. And relationship with neighbor. Let me encourage you to sketch out some triangles for yourself. See where it leads you. Especially as we approach our annual vestry meeting next week. Choose one or two things that are bugging you a bit. And there's going to be one because we are in relationship and we're not perfect. Draw these things in the form of triangles. See what happens. See if you can change one point of that triangle to include the love of God. When we do this, when we include God in our relationship triangle, we can see how being in relationship with our beloved God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, can heal our lives and can heal our lives together in the unity of love, both here at Grace and in the world. Amen.